What a beautiful hymn. Must be one of my favourites, I think. But I wonder, did you know that the expression peace like a river actually comes from the Word of God? I'd forgotten. I've read Isaiah a few times, but I'd forgotten that peace like a river is actually an expression used of God's peace in Scripture. And I just want to read it to you. Isaiah chapter 48 and verse 16. Sorry, I should have given the people the scripture so you can read it on the screen. I don't know whether there's anybody up there who can bring that scripture up for me. Oh, sorry. Trouble is with me, I take about 3 years to catch up with modern technology. Anyway, if you haven't got a Bible, I'll read it as best I can to you. And Isaiah 48, verse 16. Come near and listen to this. From the first announcement, I have not spoken in secret. At the time it happens, I am there. And now the Sovereign Lord has sent me with his Spirit. This is what the Lord says, your Redeemer, the Holy One of Israel. I am the Lord your God who teaches you what is best for you, who directs you in the way you should go. If only you had paid attention to my commands, your peace would have been like a river, your righteousness like the waves of the sea. Your descendants would have been like the sand, your children like its numberless grains. Their name would never be cut off nor destroyed from before me. Leave Babylon, flee from the Babylonians, announce this with shouts of joy and proclaim it. Send it out to the ends of the earth. Say, the Lord has redeemed his servant Jacob. They did not thirst when he led them through the deserts. He made water flow for them from the rock. He split the rock and the water gushed out. There is no peace, says the Lord, for the wicked. I wanted just to share some thoughts with you this morning on this very subject of peace. I guess if you took a poll of folk out in the streets, wide section of society, what would do they most desire in their lives? I guess quite high on the list would be this subject of peace. A peaceful life is what they would desire, and the factors that would contribute to that peace would be good family relationships, a healthy bank balance, that would come pretty high up. People think that if they've got lots of money, then it'll bring them peace. It's a lie of the enemy. Scripture speaks about the deceitfulness of riches. Good health, stable government, absence of war, and maybe other things as well. And if you took one or more of those things away, no doubt their peace would start to be eaten away and maybe destroyed altogether. In other words, their peace depends on their surrounding circumstances. That's what their peace depends upon. And let me say that I believe that probably every one of us can relate to those sort of sentiments. We're not entirely exempt from those feelings, because naturally we love security. We love security and health and for everything to be going well. And when it's going well, we're happy. And sometimes when things start to trouble us and things go wrong, our peace is affected. So I'm not pointing a finger at others and not to myself, because I think we're all subject to that. But Scripture speaks of a peace that goes beyond circumstances and situations, because it focuses on a person who is much greater than every circumstance and every situation. And of course, that person is God himself, the peace of God. In the passage I read in Isaiah, God is speaking to the nation of Judah through Isaiah the prophet concerning their release from Babylonian captivity. God had placed Cyrus as king over the Chaldeans, and under his rule, Judah was looking forward to be allowed to return to her homeland. In verse 18, God laments at what might have been. What might have been. In verse 18, if only you had paid attention to my commands, your peace would have been like a river. In other words, if you'd obeyed my word, if you'd followed my commands and my statutes, that 70 years of captivity would never have been necessary for them if they had listened to him through the prophets in the past. Then they would have been able to experience the peace of God, which is peace. Isaiah says, peace like a river. One of the names of God in the Old Testament, as you probably know, is Jehovah Shalom, which is the Lord our peace. And this passage speaks about that peace that flows from God, who is the source, the only source of true and lasting peace. In verse 17, God says, I am the Lord your God who teaches you what is best for you, who directs you in the way that you should go. It's beautiful words that. God desires to actually be our teacher. He desires to lead us in his paths of peace. He desires that as he gives us instruction, that we obey and follow those instructions and know his peace in our lives. We don't need to repeat the mistakes of Judah and become captives, maybe not physical captives, but captives to sin and captives to the results of disobedience, and the consequences of disobedience. Instead, we can live our lives that are characterized by God's peace. So what would God teach us about his peace? What would he teach us about his peace? First of all, as I've already said, that he is the source of all peace. God is the source of all peace. I love that title given to Jesus in Isaiah 9. We read it so often at Christmas time, don't we? Wonderful Counselor, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. It's a wonderful title, that. The Prince of Peace. The Prince of Peace. The word occurs 430 times in Scripture, the word peace, which seems to me tell me that God has something to say, a lot to say, about peace. And God's desire for us is that we live in peace. The Hebrew word shalom can be used to say hello or goodbye. Shalom, it means, it speaks of safety, well-being, happiness, and favor. But here, God likens his peace to a river. He likens his peace to a river. What are the characteristics for a river, of a river? A river is always flowing. I did a little calculation. I've lived most of my life in that select part of Norfolk, which is the other side of the river. And unfortunately, I've had to come this side of the river for school and work over my lifetime. And you know, I worked out how many times I've crossed the River Ouse. And you'd be amazed. I reckon it's over 35,000 times. Twice a day for a lot of years, more years than I care to remember. 35,000 times. Never have I crossed that river when it has not been flowing, admittedly in one direction or the other. But a river is always flowing. And you know, if a river ceases to flow, it ceases to become a river, doesn't it? A river, by its very definition, is flowing with water. And that's a picture here of God's peace that is always flowing. It's always flowing. It's always available to us, the peace of God. A river is constant. I was thinking back to my days at school when in poetry we learnt that poem called The Brook. I think it was from Lord Tennyson. Would that be right, Georgie? Sounds right, yeah. Perhaps Andy knows. But there's a little phrase that finishes every verse. It says, men may come and men may go, but I go on forever. And that's the only bit of the poem I remember, but probably because it repeated so many times. But it's a picture of the continuousness, the continuity of flow of a river. It is always going. We come and we go, but the river continues to flow. And it's a picture of the peace of God, which is always available to us. A river flows through all sorts of terrain, through mountains, valleys, plains, even through deserts, a river will flow. I quite enjoy boating, but you know, I've often followed the course of a river through the backwaters of cities and, you know, the dark and dingy places and the industrial areas. And the river flows all through these areas, through the beautiful parts and also through the dirty and grimy parts. And it's a picture, again, of the peace of God, which is available in every circumstance to us. The peace of God, we can know it. Like a river, God's peace continues. It keeps flowing. Daryl was just sharing with me the other the other day, we have a little lady who comes to Sutton Bridge called Viv, and she'd had a really, really bad week. And I can't remember all the circumstances, but one I do remember was that her freezer packed up, and there just leaked water everywhere, and she lost about £300 worth of food. You know, and she has an invalid husband and so on, and her lot is a hard one. And yet, her words to Darrell were, if I remember rightly, Darrell, were that me and God didn't get on too well that day. But she says, I went down the field, I think it was to feed her chicken, she says, and I had a little chat with God, and suddenly a complete peace flowed over me. That's the testimony of somebody who has no reason to make anything up. This is a real testimony of the peace of God that just comes into a circumstance when we need him. As we saw earlier, peace, as man defines it, can be destroyed or interrupted by noise or nuisance or natural disasters or a certain set of circumstances, but God's peace constantly available regardless of the situations or the circumstances. The Apostle Paul, as you remember, he spoke of a thorn in the flesh that he had. We don't really quite know what it was, but he said that he pleaded with God several times for him to remove that thorn. But God didn't remove it. He just said to him, my grace is sufficient for you, for my power is made perfect, that's right, in weakness. God's grace is sufficient for us if we'll only make ourselves available of it and to it. There's a lovely promise in Isaiah 43. It says this, Isaiah 43 verses 1 and 2. It says, fear not, I have redeemed you. I have summoned you by name. You are mine. If when you pass through the waters, I will be with you. And when you pass through the rivers, they will not overwhelm you. When you walk through the fire, you will not be burned. The flames will not set you ablaze. For I am the Lord, your God, the Holy One of Israel, your Savior. First of all, what God is saying is that you are very personal to him. He has called you by name. He has redeemed you. He has called you by name. You are precious to him. And though you pass through difficult circumstances, he will never leave you. What he promises is he will always be with you through whatever you are going. And it's easy for me to say this because I'm not going through anything quite very traumatic right now. But I know that this is the truth because I have been through times, through times of trauma, and I know that God's peace is available at all times. The writer of that hymn, Horatio Spafford, I think his first name was Horatio, great name. But, you know, you probably know this story, but, you know, he was coming over to England with his family, and he was delayed through business, I think it was, and he sent his wife and family ahead of him. There was a tremendous storm in the Atlantic, and the ship went down, and he lost his wife and all his family. And you sort of think, you know, if you were faced with that situation, how would you respond to that? How would you respond to that? And yet, I don't know how, because I didn't know any of the man. Of course, he lived loads of centuries ago. But somewhere out of that, he wrote that hymn. Though Satan should buffet, though trial should come, let this blessed assurance control that Christ has regarded my helpless estate and has shed his own blood for my soul. So ultimately, whatever situation we face, it is well with my soul. It is well with my soul. It's a real testimony of the grace and the peace of God, which can actually come into every circumstance. So a river increases in width and depth as it makes its way towards the sea. Likewise, as we mature in our walk with God, God's peace should fill our lives more and more. A little baby's peace is disturbed very easily, doesn't it? You know, if Tom doesn't get the toy he wants, you know, he soon makes himself known. His peace is completely shattered. But, you know, as we get older, you know, whatever comes, our peace should be found through abiding in Christ and knowing that peace. Our temperament should become more stable, and as Christians, we should experience that. There's a beautiful verse in Isaiah 26:3. You will keep him in perfect peace, whose mind is steadfast, for he trusts in you. Trust in the Lord forever, for the Lord is the rock eternal. What a wonderful verse. The AV puts it, thou wilt keep him in perfect peace whose mind is stayed on thee. Whose mind is stayed on thee. As we stay our minds, as we focus our minds on our God and the Lord Jesus Christ, so he will keep us in peace, because we know ultimately that he will see us through and he will provide, and the comfort that he gives will be exactly what we need. So the peace of Jesus gives is not the absence of trouble, but rather the confidence that he is with us at all times through whatever we go. That is the peace that God gives. Secondly, God wants us to experience his peace. Verse 18 says, if only you had paid attention to my commands, your peace would have been like a river. You can hear God's heart, can't you, in this verse? If only you'd obeyed my commands, you would never known my peace, peace like a river. God is for us, not against us. Let me read you this verse from Romans 8:31. It says, if God is for us, who can be against us? He who did not spare his own son, but gave him up for us all, how will he not also, along with him, graciously give us all things? Just going to have to blow my nose. So. Have when I preach. I don't know why. I never blow my nose otherwise. Well, that's a bit. I do sometimes. If God is for us, who can be against us? He who did not spare his own son, but gave him up for us all, how will he not also, along with him, graciously give us all things? Of course, the greatest peace that we can experience is the forgiveness of our sins. And God has delivered Jesus up for us all, for every one of us. God has given Jesus to take away our sins. Paul says that by his death, he might pay the penalty for the sins that I and you have committed, because there was no other way that we could atone for our own sin. God provided a way that we could be saved from hell. He who knew no sin was made sin for us. You know, and that was an awesome thing for Jesus, who knew no sin, utterly holy, utterly perfect, and yet he was made sin. And we will never know what it meant to him to carry our sin, to carry the wrath of God against sin that he had never committed and that was utterly abhorrent to him. And yet he bore that sin and carried that sin. And the very fact of carrying it, we shall never know what it was, what it meant to him, other than the fact that he was so distraught at the thought of the cross that he could say, Father, if it be possible, let this pass from me. But not my will, but yours be done. Paul says in Romans 5, verse 1, therefore, being justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. We can have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ because we've been justified by faith in what Jesus has done. Jesus himself said these words in John, I tell you the truth, whoever hears my words and believes him who sent me has eternal life and will not be condemned. He has crossed over from death to life. What a crossing, eh? What a contrast. You know, if we believe in Jesus' words and believe in the Father who sent him, we have eternal life and we have crossed over. We will not be condemned. We have crossed over from death unto life. So salvation brings us peace, the ultimate peace, and is available to all. It's recorded in Acts 10 that when Peter's preaching to the house of Cornelius, he says, I now realize how true it is that God does not show favoritism, but accepts men from every nation who fear him. Salvation is available to all who believe. Everyone. Everyone. This is the peace that God wants for every one of us today. Have you got that peace? Can I ask you, have you got that peace personally? Have you got that peace? That peace that comes from knowing that your sins are forgiven, because you can do it today. You can know that peace by putting your faith and trust in Jesus and what he has done. And what he has done is totally and utterly sufficient to take away the sins of the whole world if the world would turn to him. Thirdly, we can hinder the flow of God's peace through disobedience. Living in obedience to God's word will bring peace into our lives. Remember verse 18 again. God says, if only you had paid attention to my commands, your peace would have been like a river. Don't we see around us people's lives which are just full of unrest, full of unrest, full of unhappiness for all sorts of reasons. People seek satisfaction in their lives largely for selfish reasons. You've probably seen this car sticker, mostly on Land Rovers. I don't know why, but it seems to be on Land Rovers. It just says, one life, live it. You know, that's the problem, because people think that because they've only got one life, they've got to pack everything into that one life. And often it means treading over other people or selfish, being selfish and self-seeking. But of course we know that we have life beyond this life. And what we do now, the faith that we put in God now, will affect our eternal destiny, because Jesus says, seek first the kingdom of God and all these things will be added to you. You know, what we need, God will provide, but we seek first his kingdom. We are obedient to his word. Some seek domestic peace, but are plagued by constant conflict in the home, and often because of self-seeking and selfishness. Someone living close to me had a partner. They weren't married, but had a partner and two lovely little girls. But he was absolutely obsessed with building up his business, and he spent every waking hour just building his business. And now his wife, his partner is gone, and the children are gone. And he's angry about it. He paces up and down next door, and I can hear him on his mobile. And he's talking to his partner, and he's swearing and cursing, and he's so angry with her, but he doesn't realize that the reason that she's gone is because he neglected to look after his partner. He neglected to love her as he should. He neglected to obey the word of God as husbands should love their wives, as Christ loved the church. You see, the thing is that God's precepts, God's ways, God's laws are good for us. He longs to be our teacher. And if we follow his ways and we walk in his ways, we will know his peace. We will know blessing untold in our lives. The peace of God will come like a river into our lives as we obey his ways. Someone said, all men desire peace, but few desire those things which make for peace. All men desire peace, but few desire those things which make for peace. Because so often those things include selfless love and humility, the willingness to change, the willingness to say sorry. We want to be right. And I know it in my own heart. I don't like being proved wrong. I want to be right. But so often it's all down to our pride. And so obedience to God brings peace. The Bible says, seek peace and pursue it. In Philippians 4:9, Paul says these words, whatever you have heard from me, or learned, or received, or heard from me, or seen in me, put it into practice. Promise, and the God of peace will be with you. The God of peace will be with you. As we obey what Paul is teaching, and which is part of Scripture, the God of peace will be with us. So obedience brings peace. Wonderful promise in John 14:23. If anyone loves me, this is Jesus speaking, he will obey my teaching. My Father will love him, and we will come to him and make our home with him. What a fantastic promise. That as we obey the teachings, the ways, the words of Jesus, his promise is that the Father will love us, and he and Jesus will come and make their home with us. Can anything be better than that, that promise of Jesus? And so my last point is really an expansion of my first point, I suppose. True peace comes from the knowledge that I'm completely safe in Jesus, that everything I have need of is found in him. Paul the Apostle says in 1 Corinthians 1 verse 30 that Jesus became for us. It says, it is because of him, that is God, that you are in Christ Jesus. It is because of him that you are in Christ Jesus, who has become for us the wisdom of God, our righteousness, our holiness, and redemption. Everything we need to be acceptable to God, both now and for all eternity, Jesus has been made that for us. He's been made that for us. That's true peace. Paul says we are complete in him. It seems to me so simple, you know. It seems to me so simple. The way of salvation, I could never have worked out myself. I could never have done anything which would atone for my sin and my sinful nature. So God provides the way in the person of his Son and says, if you believe and accept what he's done for you, you will be totally and completely made holy and perfect for me, and we can spend eternity together. There's a song I came across recently, an old song I think, but it really touched me actually. The chorus, the last verse and chorus, it's really based somewhat I think on the prodigal son. But the last verse and chorus goes like this: well of water ever springing, bread of life so rich and free, untold riches never failing, my Redeemer is to me. And then the chorus goes like this: hallelujah, I've found him, whom so long my heart had craved. Jesus satisfies my longing. Through his blood, I now am saved. And that little first line of the chorus, hallelujah, I've found him, just has touched me so much, because I think, yes, I've found the one who's actually everything I need. You know, you can find him too today. He's just there waiting for you to come to him. We dropped into Sainsbury's for a coffee just on Saturday, I think it was, and I just picked up an express, and there was an article by Richard Madeley. Madeley, I think his name is. He's a columnist in there. We know him well, actually, and his wife. And he was saying how much he admired the strength of faith that some people have, and he was talking about his mother, who had a really strong faith, and she was, she's dead now, but as she drew near to the end, he said she became quite, senile. But he said there was one period when she became really, really sort of sensible. And she said to him, she said, can you remind me what my mother looks like? He says, because when I get to heaven, she says, I can remember my grandfather and my grandmother, but I can't remember what my mother looks like. Can you describe her face to me? Because when I get to see her, he says, I just don't want to be there, and I don't recognize her when I see her. And I thought, how beautiful in one sense. Her strength of faith was such that she had utterly unshakable faith that she was going to see her mother again and her grandfather and her grandmother. And sadly, Richard Madeley goes on to say that although he admires it because it's such a comfort in times like that, he said, for me, it's just fantasy. And he went into all sorts of stuff about when did God decide that Neanderthal man that became acceptable? And he said, yes, he's okay, so I'll have him in heaven. I mean, his whole thinking was totally skewed. And sadly, he just thinks it's all fantasy, which is so sad, because when we know Jesus, we know it's real. It is real. Our faith is real. Our hope is real. The promise of heaven is real. And just to finish with, on a personal note, I went through a period when my peace was not what it should be. And I just put it down to the fact that I wasn't serving God as hard as I should do. And the devil is the accuser, isn't he? And he just loves to come. If he can destroy anything in our lives, it'll be our peace with God. He just loves to undermine our peace and bring us into a state of a sort of anxiety and, I'm not good enough and all that sort of thing. And so I redoubled my efforts and tried to serve him. And guess what? Did it bring me peace? No. Didn't change a thing. And I became to realize, it taught me a very valuable lesson, that my peace will not come from efforts on my part. My peace comes, well, it's good to serve the Lord, of course it is, and I love to serve him, but it comes from my appreciation of Jesus and all that he is for me. He is my peace. He is my peace. And because I love him, I want to serve him. He's truly wonderful, Jesus is. You know, and I just love to sing that little chorus, hallelujah, I found him, whom so long my heart has craved. Jesus satisfies my longing. Through his blood, I now am saved. Amen.